the ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN podcast, episode 287. On the podcast today, I chat to Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, and we talk about SEB resources. And of course, I had the CEO in yesterday, Dave Whitby, and Alan breaks down, you know, a couple of facts and figures there from the release. There was an RNS release yesterday. Some, you know, good developments on the first 100-day plan from Dave, and Alan looks at that in more depth. Plus, I have the micro macro news, the broker forecast, and this podcast is dedicated to Ron in Nam. Cheers, Ron. Ron has given me a cracking 5-star rating and review on iTunes. I'm going to be reading that out later. But Ron, this is your podcast, fella. Thank you for taking the time out to go to iTunes and to write the review. It's not the easiest thing in the world. They don't make it easy for you. If you can do it, please do it. I'm 78 now they've got. I want to get to 100, then I'll stop pestering you. But if you go there, if you get any value from this podcast, if you can pop to iTunes and give me a review there, I will dedicate it out, this podcast, to you if you do that. That's how much I believe in that, all right? But first, I am looking to get into SEB Resources. I like the company. I like the management. I'm impressed with the resources they have. The plan going forward, like I said. But, you know, my philosophy is this. It's very simple, because I'm a very simple person. Buy a good company at a good price. And a few people have said to me on Twitter, haven't you bought yet? Why haven't you bought? Why haven't you bought? But I'll tell you why I haven't bought. I'm looking at the share price right now, okay? And it's down 4% today. And this share price has risen strongly. Let me tell you. Back in April this year, it was at 0.2 pence. At August this year, 0.8 pence. That is a 400% rise. That's a heck of a rise, you know, in that period, by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. And the thing is, whenever you chase a price, when you get excited by something emotionally, and you chase it and buy, you normally always lose money. That's why I'm sitting back and waiting. And I think a good question is, when should I buy and sell stocks and shares? And it's a hard question to answer. And the only thing I can do, do you know what's helped me? My £1 million penny stock punt experiment, in which I hope to get a penny stock, put money into it, double it. I've done that with the first stock, which is African Potash. Now, how I did that essentially, I don't know how I did that, but what helped me a lot is by looking at the chart and setting targets. Like, I know I wanted 100%. So let's say, for example, cause, you know, if you don't set a target, how do you know when to get out? And also, how do you know when to get in? It's like, do you ever get in your car and just drive? And I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just driving. I'm nuts. You know, because that's what I think. You always, you know, set a little journey, a little plan there. So it's no different from stocks and shares. So I'm looking at the chart now. And do you know what? SEB Resources has not gone down 3 straight days in a row since hasn't done it. I'm looking back in June, and it is doing it at the moment, and it's just pierced now the 20-day moving average, and I'm hoping it'll come down to around about the 50-day moving average, which is around about 0.6, which is good support. Now, hopefully, stocks and shares, you know, it's driven by emotional people who buy and sell, and what happens is, you know, the psychology of the market is dominated by fear and greed. So when people start selling, everyone starts worrying. You know, a lot of people do anyway. And there's a crowd mentality. And normally the stock gets oversold. So I know full well, if it comes down to, it gets about 0.6, it may even go down to 0.5 because if it's oversold, it's like a pendulum. It swings one way too much, then the other way too much. And slowly it settles in the middle somewhere with a nice support level. But if it becomes oversold and it goes down, say, just below 0.5, then I know this stock has rallied pretty much to 0.9. That is nearly 100%. So if I can buy at 0.5, I know it's been up to those highs before, on rumour. So it's a good chance it will get there again, because there's still more good news to come out about this company, but it's ridden strongly on hope and rumour. And we've had the news recently, and it's pulled back a bit. And this always happens, you know, like I say, it's risen strongly. So all I can say is, when you're buying a stock, just try and think, now, where's it been, this stock? And where is the support level? If I buy here, what percentage gain will I get if it revisits where it was? And so that's what you try and do. And you can see then what kind of money you're looking to get from it, you know? Because sometimes just sitting in there and hoping, is a bad strategy because you don't know when to take money off the table. And it's always worth taking money off sometimes and then putting back some more in. So it's always worth doing that. So just when you buy a stock, when you're happy with the company, you know, so you're a good company and you're looking to get a good price, just sit back and think, right, what am I looking to get? What's the bottom here? Where's it likely to go? Where's it likely to pull back to? Where's it likely to rise to? What percentage gain is that? It's worth doing that, you know? And when I do these little intros on this podcast, it's not particularly for you, it's for me. Because otherwise, I'd get emotional and jump in and buy right now. And I know, like someone said to me, you know, on Twitter, this won't pull back, definitely won't pull back. And I say, I guarantee it will. If I buy it now, it'll pull back. That's why I'm going to wait. You know what I'm saying? And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You all right, Al?
Yes, I'm good, Jess. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I've just said to you off air there, I'm feeling really full. I just came home from cycling from the radio station I work at, and I couldn't stop eating. I just went through the cupboards like a plague of locusts. I was just going through them, and I felt myself getting full. I just couldn't stop. I thought, what's going on here? Stop! And I think I've eaten my daily allowance of calories easily within 10 minutes.
It does happen, doesn't it? It does happen. Just occasionally you have to eat. And I like to eat as healthily as I can, but just occasionally I do have a hankering for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And there is one not too far away from me in New Haven. And just occasionally if I'm driving past, I'll just think, you know, one piece of chicken would be great. But it's normally three. But there we go.
Yeah. Well, you go in and say, I'll have a family bucket, please. just for me, thanks.
Yes, just for me. Yes.
I'm eating for a family. Cool. Okay.
And then you try and eat it in the car before you go home.
Yeah. All right. So yesterday on the podcast, I had on CEO of Seb Resources, Dave Whitby, really nice guy. And I know you flagged up Seb Resources just before they suspended the share price there because they're in talks for doing something. And that, what, it was at like 0.2, I think, then, wasn't it? Something ridiculous before. It was really low price at the time you flagged them up, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. Just to sort of recap on that, Seb Resources, first of all, are a mining and resource investment company. So they invest into projects and opportunities. And during the history, I've known them for a couple of years. The chairman, Cameron Pierce, of course, who's with the company today. Cameron was identified several projects the Peelwood. The Peelwood mining project in Australia, a coal project in Poland, and most recently the definitely by far the biggest opportunity is the opportunity with Corsair Petroleum and PTAG in the Indonesian oil and gas project. As we know, before. Earlier in the summer, the price suddenly popped up as the announcement was made that David Whitby would be coming in to run the project. David obviously is connected with Corsair Petroleum. He has a vast amount of experience, former army officer. You know, he's been in the industry for many, many years, and he has a team of people around him that have got similar years in the industry, similar experience, and obviously, as an oil and gas team, it's just that he's got a really good crew of people there. He knows the Indonesian market well, and it's odd because it's a huge marketplace for oil and gas and a huge with potentially huge untapped areas of resource that doesn't really seem to make the headlines. It's areas like sort of Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan and other sort of more remote regions that tend to make the headlines. But Indonesia is a huge country, huge economy, and there are vast untapped resources there. Now, when they announced the project, the Indonesian oil and gas project there in the summer, they outlined a 100-day plan to get everything into place to assess the opportunities that were on offer, prepare a strategic plan, get the team together, and build a project pipeline. At the start of the week, they announced that they had done that. They'd made a number of oil and gas discoveries, and they identified one in particular, the Tuba Obi East Oil and Gas Concession in South Sumatra. which they have an agreement with PTAG to undertake a technical evaluation of that region. What they've identified already during the initial screening process is there are multiple oil and gas discoveries within the region. There's ongoing oil production via existing facilities, gas productivity, additional sort of areas to prospect within the region. But also, it's all very well finding a project. Now, I remember having this discussion sort of many years ago about oil and gas in the Falklands. Yeah, great, it may be down there, but how much is it going to cost to get it out and actually get it to market? And of course, in that remote area in particular, it's got its own particular set of problems. But with SEB, it's got the opportunity to sell the oil and gas directly into the Singapore market, and this particular project they're looking at is some 12 kilometers away from a pipeline, so it's basically right next door, in true terms. What I think is interesting, again, when we look, or when I look for companies, I look for a value gap, or what I perceive to be a value gap. And SEB Resources is currently worth just over 5 million. It's got a market cap of just over 5 million. Now, in the second announcement on the Tuba OB East oil and gas concession, the company mentioned that the gas and power market in Indonesia was a long term part of their strategy, and obviously the opportunities to sell into that market are already more or less in place. A Sumatran gas project at the start of this year secured a long term gas sales contract at $9.45 per MMBTU, that's million British thermal units. Now that's great. Dave also talked about in his interview yesterday that there was a certain gas field there which had 30 BCF, that's billion cubic feet of gas, which is the equivalent to 5 million barrels of oil. 5 million barrels of oil. So let's just do the math there a second. So an MMBTU is the equivalent to 1,000 cubic feet. So if we're working on the basis of $9.45 per 1,000 cubic feet, divide that into, let's just use Dave's number for example, 30 billion cubic feet. That's a fine that's worth $283 million or 185 million sterling. Now clearly, that's great. We then have to look at, so okay, the oil is the resource is discovered. What are the costs of extracting it and getting it out? We already know that they can plug into the pipeline and all of the supply chain is more or less in place. But clearly, they will have to bring in equipment. They'll have to bring in contractors. So there's a cost in doing that. Will there be a potential fundraising? Maybe, probably. We don't know. So we then work on the basis that the SEB's share price may further shares will be issued to facilitate the funding. Okay, so let's say half as many shares are issued again, so we're diluted and the company's sort of shareholders see their valuation fall. But on a £5 million company against a project of that sort of size, and bear in mind this is the first project. I think there is a value gap there, and I think there could really be an opportunity to get in here, particularly given the background, that Dave Whitby brings to the table. You know, him, his team, the reputation he's got, his track record. I think there is a real opportunity here to get in on the shop floor, and it's never a straight line to get to where you want to go, but. I personally believe there is a valuation gap here, and there's a good opportunity. Clearly, not without its risks, but I think if potential investors take the time and effort to study the oil and gas market in Indonesia, then they will come away and form similar conclusions to me.
Yeah, well, do you know what? There's no doubt that the management there is very good. Dave and his team know what they're talking about, and they have a resource there. To me, that's, you know, that's a given, and it's nice you pointed out the figures there. I hadn't done the figures myself, but that's nice to know that. The only issue I've got with buying Seb, and I've had this discussion on Twitter with people saying, why aren't you buying it? And I said, well, essentially, I don't like the chase of price, because whenever I've done that, it pulls back, you know. And I said, I joked on Twitter, someone said, it's not going to pull back. I said, yes, it will. If I buy it now, it'll pull back. That's a guarantee. So,
guaranteed, yeah. If ever I buy a stock, it's as though they said, great, he's in, sell.
Yeah, you know? Gotcha, yeah. But it's, do you know what? I'm looking at the share price, and since they came back to market after that suspension, they launched back at, 0.65 pence, and they've gone up to 0.8 pence. But they've never had three down trading days until the last three. And I'm thinking now, this is maybe a time where they may, because you know what happens, people buy on the rumour, sell on the fact.
Oh,
and
sure.
Like Dave's only been in the job for 100 days. And I think this company has been so hyped, and it's got a lot of private investor interest, that there's no way, whatever report you announced, short of it being miraculous, that it wasn't going to, you know, pull the price back a bit. It wasn't going to sell off a little bit. So that's what's happening now. And I can see, on a technically, the relative strength there is dipping to the 30 level. And last time it did that, it went from about 0.65 down to just over 0.4. So yep. I'm not wishing it down the price here, so, because obviously a lot of people hold stock here, but I'm saying, you know, stock buying is about, you know, buying a good company at a good price. If you can do both those things, you've got it sussed. And I think this is potentially be a very good company, but, you know, I don't want to buy it at the top of the market. I don't want to buy it at 0.8 and see it, you know, because there is some resistance there. I can see that. So I want to make sure there's it comes back a bit. I want to see where the support level is and buy. And hopefully, what I said is on Twitter, I think maybe at the 50-day moving average at 0.6 looks like a good support level. And I'll see. But, I'm happy to wait. Now and again, one or two gets away from you when you stop market. Do you know what, recently I was too penny pinchy with Auto Trader, and I tried to get it, came down to £3, and I moved my stop loss down a bit, and then by 2.96, and I missed it, and it went all the way back up to 3.40, and it's not coming back at all, hardly. And okay, you will miss the odd one or two like that, but I think more often than not you can get burned. You'll sit there on a loss for a long time. If you buy on a spike, you can sit on a loss for a long time, and it's a bit disheartening. So it's always nice to wait and not go with the crowd a sec, just pull back, wait. It's like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger says, one of the biggest disciplines or qualities you can possess as an investor is discipline. And if you've got that, you can do well, you know, because anyone would buy a stock at any price. But it's the people who wait to a bit patient, I think, and wait for the price to come to them a bit without jumping in and getting too emotionally involved. Yep, other people absolutely. Do better, you know. So I mean, do you hold any stock at the moment in Seb?
Currently, I don't know. I spoke with Dave would be yesterday, but I will be buying some. Sometimes, as you say in investing, sometimes the hardest thing is to do nothing at all, and is to watch and just trust your instincts. I think that's important. But I mean, there is a time frame here. As Dave said, there's a 90-day study. This the TAC will take some 90 days, I believe. So we're looking really at the end of November, probably before we'll get some news, on the outcome and the next steps on the Tuba OBE East contract. But I think there is an opportunity here. Clearly, as you've said yourself, it's all about timing. You know, you don't chase the price up. And I've had many examples in the past where a short-term punt has become a long-term investment simply because I've gone in too high and I've had to wait for it to come back. But that's the nature of the beast. That's what we're in. But I think with Seb, there is a value gap here. And I think as we go forward, that value, the reasons for that value gap will become abundantly clear, and we could well see a re-rating. But Dave and his team need to sort of uncover the true potential on the Tuba OBE East contract first of all. But do the math on that. It's really important. And also, I urge people to take a look at the Indonesian oil and gas market, the potential, and the size of the marketplace there. But as Dave also said, the gas that they extract will be used to hit the power target that the country has. I mean, currently they've got a goal of increasing the supply by some 35,000 megawatts over the next 4 years, They've got 9,000 so far, so clearly a gas discovery is going to be attractive because that will be used to power the stations to bring the extra power online. So there's a ready-made market there. It's that they're just literally connecting the bits of pipework, you know, to make it happen. But there's a marketplace ready and waiting there. It's they've not going to extract and think, great, we've got it out. Now who should we sell it to? That's already a done deal.
Yeah, and I think Dave did say yesterday, I did I sent one tweet and I got over 20 questions. I just said, if you got a question for Dave, you know, and I had over 20 questions there. A lot of them were duplicates. I think I had about 26, and most of them said the same thing. And that was about placing and raising money.
Yeah.
And that was the most popular thing. And even though Dave dismissed it, I think short term, because he did say, yeah, I'm coming to London. A lot of people say, why are you coming to London? Is it raised money? And it's not. He says, literally, to meet up with some prime investors and to meet some people. Some investors, but he said it's not to raise money. Now, you know, I think when you got an asset and a project this size, somewhere down the line you're going to have to raise some money, of course.
Yeah.
And I think even though he said this visit is not a fundraising event, you can't say it's not going to happen within maybe in start of next year, I think, or something like that, because they need funds from somewhere, don't they? You
know? Well, first of all, he's coming over for your wedding, Justin, isn't he?
So that's it, yeah.
No, I agree, but again, just go back to my point on the valuation gap. Okay, so we've got Seb is currently worth 5.2 million. You know, that's nothing. That's a drop in the ocean. So they raise money at the current level. Investors, let's say they're diluted by 20-30%. You know, at this level, it doesn't mean anything. But if that puts the resource in place, in my opinion, if they raise a couple of million to put the resource in place to extract the gas, assuming that the study yields the results they're looking for, and all the indications are that it will, then really that's nothing to be concerned about, because there'll be a bit of dilution. But by raising that money to get the infrastructure in place, then they've added, well, I would argue they've added more value than they've actually than the dilution would seem to imply.
Exactly, yeah. And so there we are. And like I said, 90 days, he did say. Dave said he didn't think it'll take that long, but they're going to use the 90 days, I think, to make sure. So, yeah, there's no rush. Do you know what I'm saying this? I'm just saying this to myself. You know, I'm just, there's no rush. Keep calm. Don't jump in. That's what I'm saying, you know. I'm not saying to anyone else, basically.
Yeah. Well, 90 days, we could see, you know, we could see the share price come back to the resistance level as some people, you know, they're looking for a short term gain, so they decide to get out and take a profit. But I would imagine there'll be very strong support at that level, and I'd be very surprised to see it fall much further. But if it's done before 90 days, happy days.
Yeah, marvellous. It's nice, just nice to chat with Dave and then get your angle on it as well, because it's a different perspective, and it doesn't help the pod. It doesn't hinder the podcast. There's a lot of people who love Seb Resources. And like I said, you know, yesterday, I mean, the volume was like 80 million or something shares traded.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal, and it's good stuff. Marvellous. Thanks. I'll speak soon. In fact, next time we speak will be after my sort of drink up stroke stag do. So hopefully by the Monday, if we speak on Monday, I'll be cognizant. I'll be able to speak, you know, hopefully. I'll have survived the weekend.
Excellent. We'll just have a great weekend. Enjoy your stag night. It'll only happen once. I just hope they don't leave you stark naked on a Scottish beach somewhere and get you to find your way back. But
yeah, no, don't say that, because that's in my mind now.
Yeah. Or have I given them some ideas? But there we go.
Cheers, Al.
Cheers, Jess.
Okay, it's time for the macro news. Slower growth in China and continuing stock market uncertainty pose a threat to global economic growth, the International Monetary Fund has warned. Never? Really? I would never have thought that. What are you saying? If the second biggest economy in the world slows down, that may have an effect on other economies? Really? God, I'm glad you guys are getting paid lots of money to decide that, because nobody else could have figured that out. Wow. They're also going to say Chinese slowdown appears to have bigger repercussions for other countries than had been expected. The troubles in China have sent the price of commodities such as oil and copper sliding. UK service sector growth slowed to its weakest rate in more than 2 years in August, a survey has indicated. The latest market CIPS Service Sector Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI for short, just PMI, it's a lot easier. It fell to 55.6 last month from 57.4 in July. Of course, below 50 is contraction, above is expansion. So it's still expanding at a nice rate there, cracking rate. But it's just slowed down a little bit. Just a little bit. The European Central Bank has kept its main interest rate on hold at 0.05% amid investor concerns about the fallout from China's economic slowdown. There was speculation, the ECB might extend its current bond buying program, but I've just seen on Twitter here now that there's no mention of that. They're not there yet, so they're not even thinking about it. There was no talk about that. Okay, it's time for the micro news. Here's the good news. The European Commission has given unconditional merger clearance to Royal Dutch Shell for its £47 billion recommended cash and share offer for BG Group. I think now there's only two countries. The US has passed it. Brazil has passed it. Europe has passed it. There's only two countries that need to pass it. That's Australia. And they should have given the decision by now, but they've put it off until, I think, September the 17th. And there's China. But I can't see China standing in the way, you know. I think they want to do everything they can to help the economy, I think, and help grease the wheels of commerce. And by putting the brakes on this won't help, I don't think. Mining giant Rio Tinto said that it expects demand for iron ore and steel to continue growing despite a slowdown in China. It's very interesting that. I don't want to see how they say that. EasyJet lifted its full-year profit guidance as it said record passenger numbers in August offset higher costs. Low-cost airline Wizz Air continued to see stronger passenger numbers in August with growth of 19% to reach 1.99 million. Professional services provider Fairpoint posted an increase in interim profit on the back of a surge in revenue. Motor retail and after-sales service company Lookers surged after announcing the acquisition of Addison Motors Limited, trading as Benfield Motor Group, for £87.5 million in cash. Yeah, you are, son. It's all cash, all it's uncounted. £87.5 million sobs. And here's the bad news. Premier Oil has plugged and abandoned an exploration well in Norwegian sector of the North Sea. Food wholesaler Booker Group reported a decline in sales as it was hit by the ban on small stores displaying tobacco products. See, I would never have thought that would hit sales of tobacco, because if you're a smoker and you're on 20 a day and you're grabbed by the nicotine bug, addiction, whatever you call it, then you walk into a shop, you're not going to think, right, what do I come in here for now? Normally, I see something here that reminds me of what I want to buy, but right now I can't see nothing that gives me a clue or indication as to what I want to buy. Right, no, listen, I'm off. Can't think of what I came in for. Cheers. And they walk home gasping for a fag, thinking, what is it I want? So that surprised me. I was just, you know, hiding cigarettes. Oh, we've got cigarettes, but we're hiding them. Hiding cigarettes prevents people from buying them. Shares in Alexander Mining were suspended from trading on AIM as the company's planned £295,000 subscription will no longer be going ahead as planned. Go Ahead Group, talking about Going Ahead, Go Ahead Group posted a 13.7% drop in pre-tax profit on the back of exceptional costs and said it will take longer to hit targets for its bus division. Forbidden Technologies, interim results reported a bigger loss on revenue, 6% lower. And here are the broker forecasts for the second day in a row. I haven't seen any downgrades, only upgrades. It's all positive. Investec has upgraded Virgin Money Holdings to buy, price target 455. They've also initiated coverage of Wizz Air Holdings to buy, price target 21.50. Investec has also upgraded Sentiment to buy, price target 67 pence. JP Morgan Cazenove has upgraded Reckitt Benckiser Group to overweight. with a price target of £63. And Berenberg has initiated coverage of Senior with buy. Price target £3.20. That's it for the podcast, apart from to say this podcast is dedicated to the one, the only, Ron in Narm, who gave me a 5-star rating on iTunes, takes it to 78 5-star ratings and reviews. I'm going for the big 100. So if you can help me get to that, not far off, just 22 away, if you listen to this podcast and you like any part of it, please take a bit of time out. It takes about 5 minutes. Having said that, it's not easy. So set yourself a challenge. Say, right, I'm going to find the way I can review this podcast, because it's a challenge. So if you can go there and just write a nice little review and give me a 5-star rating, I will dedicate the podcast to you. This is what Ronin Narm says. Let's have a look. Mr. No-Nonsense. Well, you know, that's debatable. There's quite a bit of nonsense on the show. But thank you very much. 5 stars. Hi, Justin. I've been listening to you for a while and finally got round to writing this review. Amongst all the noise and ranting on message boards, these podcasts have given me a level view of investing. Since listening, I've managed to grow my portfolio by some 30%. Although I know this cannot continue, I want to thank you for providing myself with some solid, well-rounded advice on private investment. P.S. Congrats to Steve on finding romance. I'm sure he's a lovely fella. He is a lovely fella. He is. And I've got to say, listen, ignore the noise on bulletin boards. Do your own research, you know? And if you're confident with the company, hold on. Because in the past, I've seen rumours of people slagging off a stock I've been in, sold it, only for the stock to go up, and it's annoyed me. I hadn't, you know, stuck with my original conviction. So ignore that. Do your own research. Do a bit of maths. Get a pen out or on a computer and type out a couple of maths and look at how much is this worth it, or how much do they owe? Is it really worth it? And don't be scared to change your mind on a company you're invested in. You think, oh, I don't know, this is not as good as I thought, because you can get emotional when you've got to buy something, but don't be afraid to change your mind. And everything's a learning process. Everything. But ignore bulletin boards. Literally, I haven't been on a bulletin board for a long time, maybe about a month ago, and I was to post something. I never read the people, because there's so much negativity on there, people slagging each other off. And then, what's the point of that? People get personal. It's ridiculous. Anyway, thank you very much for that, Ron. I do appreciate it, and the podcast is yours, sir. Thank you very much. By the way, if you can, tell a friend. I'd be eternally grateful. Don't forget, don't buy anything based on solely on a tip or recommendation in the podcast. It's just opinion. It's not your opinion. Please do your own research. And the more research you do, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. That's what I feel. Anyway, thank you for listening. Speak tomorrow.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.